Well, if you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to follow up on last week's message, Pentecost Sunday, about handing over ownership of the house that he paid for to the Holy Spirit. I want to begin today, and we'll follow up over the next little while, just walking this out. Verse 1 of 2 Kings 4. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." In the King James Version, it says a pot of oil. In the language, it's a little pot of oil. And then he said, "Go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, and you pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." And so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. And it came about that when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. And then she came and she told the man of God. And he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." May God give us ears to hear and eyes to see. There were a number of prophets who, if you read on in chapter 5, they actually were going to build a house for the prophets who moved about in the land of Israel. And evidently, this woman was married to one of them, and her husband had died. As a result, he being her source of provision, she had gotten to a real problem in place of being able to provide. And the creditor was going to come and take her two children and turn them into slaves, so that they could have her debt paid off. And then the story follows, as I just got through reading. And so we're going to see this as metaphorically and see the work of the Holy Spirit and what some things God is trying to say to us in these days. And the first thing is that this woman owed a debt, an enormous debt. And I would say that that's the same thing true for all of us. God has called us all to owe the world the debt. The Scripture says that we're called to be witnesses, and that we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witness. To be a witness is someone who's called to tell the truth of what they've experienced, what they've seen, what they've observed. And to be a witness is for us to tell the truth about Jesus based on our experience of what we've encountered about Him, the risen Christ, ourselves. And we have an obligation, we have a debt to the world to do that. God's called us to bear witness of Jesus. Just as Jesus bore witness of His Father. In John chapter 1, Christ makes His mission really clear. And He says in verse 18, "No man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten God, who's in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." And the word "explained" is that He's made Him clear. He's told the truth about Him. He's revealed Him. Now, it's important that you understand, again, it says that God is invisible. He's a person, but He's a spirit. And He's invisible. And no man has seen Him at any time. But Jesus came as the Son of Man to make visible the invisible God. That was His task. Now, he didn't make God visible by being God himself, though he could have acted as God at any time, because he was never anything less than God, but he was also 100% man. If you've been around here long enough, you've heard us talk about the kenosis, that place in Philippians chapter 2 that talks about Jesus emptying himself. It means kenosis, is self-emptying. And Jesus emptied himself of his right to act as God independently, though he could have at any time. But if he had of, then he couldn't say that no man has seen God at any time. So Jesus never acted out of his deity independently. Instead, Jesus, who had everything already, as a man, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told the truth about God. He explained him, and he did it as a Spirit-filled man. And as a Spirit-filled man, he made the invisible God visible. He bore witness of the Father. In John chapter 20, Jesus said, "Just as the Father has sent me, so have I sent you. Just as I have borne witness of him, I've called you to bear witness of me. Just as I've made visible the invisible God, and therefore fulfilling the purpose for man's creation." We were created in his image according to what? His likeness. And out of a love, dependent faith relationship with God, we're called not just to love him, not just to be ravishers, people who ravish his heart, but we're called to be revealers. We were created to make visible an invisible God. And Jesus came as the second Adam and restored to mankind mankind's original and highest purpose and vocation. And that is to make visible the invisible God. We're called to make visible the invisible Christ. The scripture says that Jesus Christ himself is our very life. And yet, it says that we are his body. And just as 2,000 years ago, he needed an incarnational body to make visible an invisible God, the Father. He needs an incarnational body on the earth to make visible now an invisible Christ that can only be seen and touched through his living body. The purpose for a body is to make visible the life within. Amen? And so you and I have this incredible privilege, this incredible opportunity, but an extraordinary debt to a lost and dying world. And that is the message of getting saved. The word saved isn't just about sparing them from hell so they'll go to heaven. It's about being saved from their ruined condition. Every person on this earth was created to be a ravisher of God and a revealer of his likeness. And to not do that is what it means to be lost. To be lost in light of your true purpose as a human being. And what we're called to do is to model our true vocation, our high calling, and to share the message that you too can know what it is to be a co-heir of Christ, to live a love relationship with God, and to be indwelt by his presence and reveal his likeness, to live supernaturally, a supernatural love relationship, because it is supernatural love. It so exceeds anything we've ever known, and supernatural activity. That's our great debt. But we find this woman in a place of great bankruptcy. Now, here's what you need to understand. The prerequisite for releasing the divine activity of God in a person's life is bankruptcy, destitution, and desperation. The truth about us is revealed in Romans 6. The how to walk it out is revealed about us in Romans 8. But the bridge between Romans 6 and Romans 8 is Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The bridge is for us as believers coming to a place of absolute bankruptcy. The prerequisite for releasing divine action and activity in your life and my life is spiritual and moral bankruptcy. Doesn't mean that you live a life of immorality. It just means that the moral choice to do what's in your heart. Romans chapter 7, Paul says, the things that I want to do, I can't do. The things that I hate, I end up doing. And he's saying that as a believer. This is the Apostle Paul. These are the things he discovered in the 11 years of wilderness that he spent. Now, your wilderness doesn't have to be 11 years or 40 years like Israel. But there is that place of coming to where you realize, I'm called to be a witness, and for some reason, there seems to be no supernatural ability to do it. I've done the training. I've memorized all the principles. I'm confessing all the right things. And it just doesn't seem to be working out. And where it doesn't work out the most, you know where it doesn't work out the most? Where we can't fake it. Where we live our private lives. We can put on the smile, sing the songs, and raise the hands in public. Because we can do that short term. But over the long haul, where we live, where people observe our lives, that's where we find and where we discover our spiritual bankruptcy. That's not a bad thing. It may not be fun for the people around you watching you come to that place, but as a believer, they had to come to that place themselves. And if you're at that place this morning, I just want you to know that step one in filling out the application for divine activity, you've already filled out the first page. You've met the prerequisite. If bankruptcy, destitution, and desperation is where you're at. If you're at a place where you know you're called to be a witness, and first and foremost to those who know you best, because we can't fake it around them for very long. You know, and the sad thing is eventually the stories leak out. You do know that, don't you? I mean, the story, your faithful husband and your faithful wife and your faithful children, eventually the stories leak out. You know, one of the things that Misty Edwards says is life takes place behind the face. And we can put on a happy face, but you can't do it all the time. So what's it like where you live? What's it like in your home? What's it like with your family? What's it like with your husband? What's it like with your wife? What's it like with your parents? What's it like among your friends? Do you find yourself knowing that you're called to be a witness, longing to be one, but it just isn't working? Then I got good news. The first page of the application, you have filled out. You've met the prerequisite. There's a place in, I love this verse. I haven't thought about this verse in a long time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to this. This will be an encouragement to you. So, Bishop, I feel like such a failure. Now, those old-timers have heard me say this a million times, but this is kind of like, let us hear these things again as if they were for the first time. You say, I feel like such a failure. Be encouraged. You're just the failure God always thought you would turn out to be. He's not shocked, surprised, or disappointed. Because you'll never be a success in your spiritual life until you first discover you're a failure. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. Ever felt that way? Do you feel burdened excessively beyond your strength? Good. That's the whole point. That's why God's letting it happen. He wants to get beyond your strength and my strength. burdened excessively beyond your strength, so that we despaired even of life. Hopeless. You ever been there? Ever woke up, felt hopeless? This is what you were dealing with, felt beyond your ability to cope with, beyond your strength, the situations and circumstances of your life. You ever been there? I know what it's like. Indeed, he said, now here's the thing to be encouraged. We had the sentence of death within ourselves. Be encouraged. Beloved, here's the deal. From the moment you became a Christian, there was a sentence of death on your self-effort passed over you, made judgment over you, and it's been working ever since to bring you to the point of death so that you can live. Because unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will remain alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. So every one of us have a sentence of death that's been passed on us, our self-effort, our strength. Indeed, we had a sentence of death within ourselves, in our inner man. You know, the stuff, what it does on the outside exposes our weakness and bankruptcy on the inside. What's the point that we should not trust in ourselves, but in a God who raises the dead? That's a much better way to live, to tap into the resources of a God who raises the dead, than to live out of the resources of our fallen, bankrupt, self-effort selves. So you understand what the sentence of death is all about? You understand why it's been so hard? You understand why you can't seem to get out from that place? Because God's not going to let you get out of it. He's the one who's passed the sentence of death. It's not about that person or this situation or that circumstance in your life. It's about God who's passed the sentence of death, and He's determined to bring you to the place where you die to your own self-effort and you begin to trust instead of yourselves a God who raises the dead. Now the interesting thing, and I love this in this story in 2 Kings chapter 4, when she tells Elijah her situation and basically asks for help, verse 2, Elijah says to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except this little pot of oil." I have nothing. That's that place, a bank, except this little pot of oil. Now, here's the cool thing. She would have never thought about and therefore discovered the little pot of oil if she hadn't been bankrupt. And the question, in light of her bankruptcy, crying out for help. There was one who said, "Well, what do you have in your house?" "Well, I've got nothing. Oh, I've got this little pot of oil." And it's kind of like our walk with God. We cry out for Him. Oh, God, deliver me. God, I'm so frustrated. I'm so tired of giving into this sin again and again and again. I'm so tired, Lord, of giving into pride. I'm so tired of giving into anger. I'm so tired of giving into control. I'm so tired, Lord, of giving into self-pity. I'm so tired of giving into offense. I get offended all the time. I'm so tired of living in insecurity. I'm so tired of being in fear. I'm so tired of this lust, whatever it might be, the greed, the jealousy, the envy. I'm so tired of excusing it. I'm tired of making a pet out of it and thinking, well, it's just okay. I got to live with it. God, do something. Do something. I'm begging you. God, help me. I'm bankrupt." The Lord says, "Well, what do you got in the house?" "Well, I just told you, Lord, nothing." "Well, I got this little pot of oil." Now, here's the thing with this oil. This is the Hebrew word for oil here is not like cooking oil. It's blessed oil. It's oil for the anointing. It's what a prophet would have to anoint other prophets or to be used in the sacrifices. It's blessed oil. And she remembers, in the context of crying out concerning her own spiritual bankruptcy, "Well, I've got this little pot of oil, blessed oil." And here's the thing. This is not news to you, but you all know the oil represents what? the Holy Spirit. Now, Matthew read the gospel lesson. What's the Holy Spirit's job? To make real to me the imparted life of the risen Christ. That's what he read. He takes the things of Jesus and makes them real to me. The Holy Spirit is the life of Jesus in me.
Amen.
The little pot of blessed oil is the imparted, risen life of Christ. Now be encouraged, brothers and sisters. If you are a Christian today, you may feel like you have nothing in which to discharge your debt to be a witness even in your own home. But if you're a Christian, every one of you have that little pot of oil within you. Every one of you already have the imparted, risen life of Jesus. Every one of you do. It says in 2 Corinthians, again, chapter 1, listen to what he says here. Now, charismatics, listen to this scripture. It says what it says. Okay? Verse 20. For as many as may be the promises of God, in him they are yes. Wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Whoa, the glory of God through us. That sounds exciting, but we're not talking about that. Now he who established us with you in Christ and anointed us, past tense, anointed us, is God, who also sealed us. You're anointed and you're sealed. It hasn't leaked out. The little pot of oil is in there. You may have forgotten about it for lots of years. You may not know how to put it to use. You may not have discovered the potential of the little pot of oil, but you have been anointed and you have been sealed. How? Who has sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Every one of you have the little pot of oil in you, the imparted, risen life of Christ. I referred to these verses several times recently, and I will again. This is from 1 John chapter 5, again. And this is the witness, verse 11, that God has given us eternal life. And remember, eternal life is not life that goes on forever. It's the quality of life. It's life from above. It's life and life more abundant. It's the very, I'll just show you. This is the witness that God has given us eternal life. And this life is where? In the Son. If you have the Son, verse 12, you have the life. And if you do not have the Son of God, you don't have the life. Because what is eternal life? The very life of the risen Jesus that you'll enjoy forever. If you've got the Son, you've got the life. If Jesus Christ lives inside of you, then you have the little pot of oil.
Amen.
You'll never get more anointed. You'll never have more of an anointing. It's about releasing the anointing.
Amen.
And the anointing is a person, and his name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's there imparting and has imparted to you the risen life of Christ. And so when he says, what do you have in? She says, nothing except this little pot of oil. If you have the little pot of oil living inside of you, then you already have, a supernatural source of endless provision for daily living, no matter what your circumstances are. Amen?
Amen.
It's important that you understand that. Every one of you, if you are a Christian, have that little pot of oil in you. And therefore, you already have in you a supernatural source of endless provision for daily living. Now, what did he say for her to do? He said, here's what you to do. Go borrow vessels at large for yourself and from all your neighbors. Even empty vessels do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out in all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. And so she went and got all these vessels, her sons went and got all these vessels, and as long as she had an empty vessel from this little pot of oil, the vessel would be filled. And he told her, he said, don't get a few, because as long as you provide an empty vessel, there'll be more flowing in the oil. Now, the little pot of oil was always there, and it was always a source for supernatural provision for her daily living and to discharge her debt to the world. The source for supernatural living, the risen Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you and me. But all we have to do is keep offering empty vessels. And as long as we offer empty vessels, that little pot of oil will keep filling. Now, to me, this is like one of the coolest scriptures. And we talked about this some on Wednesday night. When we talk about empty vessels, one of my favorite empty vessel prayers in all the world is from Jehoshaphat's experience in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. And Jehoshaphat was facing an opposing army that exceeded his strength, that was overwhelming. It was a situation and a circumstance that was way bigger than him. And when you get to verse 12, he finally cries out to God and says, "For we are powerless against this great multitude that are coming against us, and we don't even know what to do. But our eyes are on you." That's an empty vessel prayer. An empty vessel prayer is that in every situation and in every circumstance, I come to Him emptied of any vision of my own ability to handle the situation. And I have the attitude of, I can't, but you can. That's faith. Faith, by its very nature, is looking to a second party to do for you what you're not prepared to do for yourself. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's why faith is more than just an act. It's an attitude that we live in every day. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he who comes to God, empty vessel attitude, and believes that he is, you can because I can't. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will reward me, what? With the release of supernatural activity, of his divine action, as I present to him empty vessels. And here's the cool thing. You and I set the limit, not God. It's limitless. It's endless and it's limitless. As I said earlier, if you have the little pot of oil in you, and you do if you're a Christian, then you already have a supernatural source for endless and limitless supernatural activity for daily living. Divine action released in your life and my life. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, doesn't say get filled with the Holy Spirit. Every charismatic has that testimony. But what he says is, be ye continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you get filled? You keep presenting empty vessels. And we set the limit. See, that's so encouraging to me. Because when I'm living out of my own bankruptcy, life seems so small. It's such a struggle just to squeak by and survive one day, one circumstance, one situation. And we find ourselves, again, like it talks about in Ezekiel 44, in the energy of our own sweat, just exhaustingly trying to make it through life, and then settling for so much less than God has for us, and making all kind of excuses for it. My situation, my circumstances, the person I live with, the person I don't live with, my personality type. We all have different personality types, but we're all called to be witnesses of Christ. And we've settled for such low living. Remember that place in Isaiah 38? Wistfully longing for the heights. There should be a limitless thing in us that says, Lord, I don't want to ever run out of empty vessels. It's limitless. I don't have to be like this. I don't have to get older and settle for this. I don't have to excuse it anymore and explain it away. And settle in for it. And yet we do. We'll go off somewhere. We'll go to some conference. We'll go to some meeting. Or we'll listen to some tape. Or we'll get somebody to pray for us. And we'll have some kind of release. There'll be a moment of release. And the oil of God fills our lives. It's so wonderful. And we seem to be free from some besetting sin that's hindered us and kept us back. Listen to me tell you this. You can get free for a day. You can stay free. Now, this is I'm telling you from a testimony from a guy who's been free and not free. But if you can be free for a few months, why did it have to settle back down later? You see, that's what happened to the children of Israel. When God brought them out of Egypt, and He said, this Passover meal, which is a celebration of your salvation, can only be celebrated in the land of Canaan. Only when you're living by the divine resources of God and His presence. In Christian terms, only when you're releasing the divine action of the indwelling risen Christ on a daily basis are you really celebrating the Christian life. He told them, I didn't bring you out of Egypt to live and die in the wilderness. I brought you out to bring you in.
Amen.
This is what salvation looks like, not the wilderness. And yet they celebrated the Passover one time in those 40 years. The second year, they were in the wilderness. They celebrated the Passover. But you know what happened? They ran out of the corn that they brought from Egypt. And they couldn't celebrate it again for 38 years. Because you cannot celebrate your Christianity in the wilderness. You and I weren't intended to live in the wilderness with a little taste of honey. Just living on manna. What is it? I'm getting by. We're supposed to do more than get by. We're supposed to be more than conquerors. For by the transgressions of the one, death reigned through the one, much more. Much more, he says. He says, we shall, who've received righteousness, shall reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. Those who receive the abundance of grace, he says, much more, and the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life. If you have born again, then you've received the gift of righteousness, and you have an abundance of grace, that little pot of oil, to reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. Because it's through Him, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in you by the Holy Spirit, that little pot of oil that is endless and limitless. Because you know what happens? You know what the story is about them celebrating that in 2 years? The Passover? Because the flesh is like that. You can get all stirred up and all fired up and get touched and have all these kind of things. And you can make it work for a little while, for a few days, for a few weeks, sometimes for a few months, sometimes for a couple of years. But in the end, you can't do it anymore. Because it's not like a well of water springing up. It's just doing the best you can. And then you see it fading. You can recognize, oh my God, I'm going back to that place. So you're trying to keep it going, and then you end up back in that same place. That's not what God wants for us. Our personalities are going to be different, but our experience should be similar. And so he says, don't bring a few. He says, you set the mark. You've heard, if you've been around long enough, you've heard me say, you can take as much as Cana as God wants you to. Every place you step your foot. You set the limit. You establish. You bring the little vessels, empty vessels. And as long as they presented empty vessels, the little pot of oil never ran out. But when they ran out of vessels, the flow stopped. When you run out of empty vessels is when the flow stops. It's not that person's fault. You're not in a bad place because that person did this to you or didn't do that. You're not in a bad place because your finances are this or that. Those may be battles. But the battles are his, not yours. You're in a bad place because you stop presenting empty vessels. You stop taking your situation to Him going, Lord, I'm powerless against this great multitude. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You. And the Lord says, don't be dismayed or be discouraged because of this enemy, because of this great multitude. The battle's not yours, it's mine. You station yourself, stand and see the salvation of God on your behalf. If you read the word I posted today, commit your way to the Lord and He'll bring it to pass. The word it's there in italics. It's one of our biggest enemies. Forget the it. Don't let the itites destroy you. Commit your way to the Lord. He'll bring the path. Let Him do it how He wants to do it. Just know He's going to do it. He's going to glorify Himself. Thanks be to God who always, 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 always leads us in His triumph. His triumph in Christ Jesus. Always. I can assure you this. He will victoriously glorify Himself in the situation and through you. Quit trying to figure out what it's going to look like. Quit being behind the back seat going, are we there yet? 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 Let Him be God. Let God be God. Give Him time and space to move. But all you need to know is that at every step and at every moment, I could imagine that this woman and these two boys, they first present an empty vessel and they pour the little pot of oil, but whoa! Whoa! And then let's do it again. Whoa! Probably a little bit not sure what's going to go on. I mean, faith is like that. We learn to practice faith, but I bet you, after a few, they were like going, with absolute resting confidence, with every empty vessel, they expected the little pot of oil to fill it. Because they've discovered the little pot of oil was faithful. And the more you walk in it, and don't you imagine that when they ran out of the last one, they went, oh man, wish we had found more vessels. This is what it means to take up your cross daily. At every step of the way, I can't. But thanks, Lord, You can. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're my victory here. I don't know what victory is going to look like. It's up to You. It's Your business. All I know is that You're going to victoriously glorify Yourself in this situation. I restfully, with absolute total confidence, offer this little empty vessel in this situation. Thanks, Lord, for filling it. And You release supernatural, divine activity for daily living. Now, we're going to talk about this from different directions a lot over the next few months because the Lord's really made it clear to me in my own personal life over the last couple of months. And for us corporately, re-establish the foundation from which everything we do flows from. That's a good construction guy's idea, isn't it, Matthew? Make sure you got the foundation.
Amen.
Because everything else flows from that. So we're going to get it. It's going to be coming out of your ears. Until it comes out of your life. Because you know what happened? She discharged her debt. And where did all this empty vessel stuff happen? Behind the scenes, behind closed door. That's where it's cool. It didn't matter what's going on the outside, but on the inside, there's just this restful attitude of, here's the next empty vessel. Here's the next situation. Here's your next opportunity, Lord. Thank You that You're my victory here. You're my victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory continually through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great way to live. Restfully confident. Expecting. And that's all going on behind the face where life takes place. You know what it ends up doing? It really does affect the muscles and the nerves in your face. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. So the stress of sweating it out every day. The wilderness is hot. And you just go around in circles over and over again. Man will keep you alive, but there's more to living than just to, there's a whole land full of milk and honey just across the river. And the issue is this, what happened? And she said, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt. And you and your sons can live on the rest. She paid her debt out of an abundance. We fulfill our debt to be witnesses, not because we're squeezing and trying and pushing, but it flows out of an abundance that's happening in our life. It's just rivers of living water. Not sprinkles, not trickles, not creeks, but rivers that flow out of my innermost being. The divine inflow, little pot of oil, and then the resulting divine outflow, rivers, plenty for people around me, which comes out in abundance. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.